things. Let's just be in prayer for the body. I believe God has a word for us tonight. Amen. You ready for the word?
Well, why don't you lift your hands all over the house again? Oh, why don't you open up your mouth and talk to Jesus for a moment tonight? Lord, we love you. We worship you. God, there's none like you, none beside you, oh Lord. You are the reason that we are all gathered in this place because of your mercy and your grace and your reaching to us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. Aren't you thankful to know him? Amen. What a privilege it is to be of those who are called by the name. Amen. And I don't ever want to lose the thanksgiving and the gratitude of being born again of water, born again of spirit. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight with all of you. I give honor to my brother-in-law, Pastor McLean, and his wife. Amen. All the saints of God, I'm honored to be asked to stand here and endeavor to preach the word of the Lord or teach or whatever comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to be saved and part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord that he bestows upon each of us. Amen. None of us are worthy, but he made us worthy. Amen. He stood in our place and said, I'll take the blame and the wages of their sin, and then I'll empower them with victory. Amen. An overcoming power. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Praise God. I want you, once again, just if somebody's close by, reach over, take a hand. If nobody's near you, just lift your hands to heaven. I want us to pray again together right now. I want you to ask the Holy Ghost to help us here tonight. God, we're not just marking time. We're not just fulfilling obligation. We have come to this house tonight seeking after you, your word, your will, your way, to help us, to strengthen us, to direct us. Holy Ghost, we want your will and your purpose and your way in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glad to have my family with me tonight, my wife and children, and I love and appreciate them. Thankful for Apostolic Temple. Amen. I want to say thank you to Apostolic Temple for everything that you represent, and everything that you invested in my wife and I want to say thank you for believing in us and through the years being so kind and praying for us, and we certainly appreciate it. And the longer I live and the more I'm exposed to the greater work that God is endeavoring to do in the world, I recognize that places like Apostolic Temple are privileged and blessed above measure. Amen. And I was having a conversation just this weekend with Brother Greg Frazier, who some of you may remember many years ago, preached a revival here. In fact, my wife and I had our first date the last night of that revival. Amen. So that's been just a few days ago. But he preached our 15th pastoral anniversary in Hattiesburg Sunday, and he and I were talking about how blessed we were by the people, the men, the churches that have impacted our life, and the recognition that not everybody has that privilege and has encountered the depth and the blessings of the Lord. And I want to say thank you to Apostolic Temple for being that environment in my life, and contributing to those dimensions in the spirit. Can you say praise the Lord? You say, why are you stalling, Brother Patrick? Because I don't, what I'm really feeling to do here tonight just doesn't seem like it's what I ought to do. Amen. So trying to get God to change his mind. If I can talk a little longer, maybe he can drift in a different direction. Amen. But I don't think it's going to happen. Praise God. Genesis chapter 37 is where we're going to read from tonight. And this is, it may be a little different than what you were expecting, or it may not. We're just going to take off and let the Holy Ghost help us here tonight. 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And this is the story of Joseph, who has dreamed the dreams of seeing the stars and the sun and the moon and the sheaves in the field all bowing down to worship him. There's a lot in this chapter that we're not going to take time to talk about here tonight, other than just to say in the first 20 verses, we're introduced to Joseph as a teenager, 17 years old. He is sent to find his brethren and report to his father about what they're doing, where they're at, what's going on. You know how that he has received a coat of many colors, this coat of favor from his father, how he is despised by his brothers because of his favor from the father and because of his dreams that he shared with them in either naivety or in ambition. We can't really figure out which, but he is now despised by them, and they really don't want anything to do with him. And they are looking for an opportunity, perhaps, to rid themselves of this nuisance in their life. Amen. In verse 18, the Bible says, Joseph is coming to his brethren when they saw him afar off. Even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Verse 21, "And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." Amen. I want to talk to us for a little while. This is a lesson in its initial form, so I don't know how it's going to come out tonight. Amen. It may come out as preach. It may be good spa music to put you to sleep. I hope it ministers to somebody here tonight. Amen. But I want to talk to you about Joseph's hands, or the hands of Joseph. Amen. Would you pray? Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us here tonight. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your people. I pray, God, that you would fill my mind with your thoughts, my mouth with your word, that you would accomplish the purpose of it being sent into this place tonight, and that you would confirm it with the demonstration of your spirit in that name that is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord before you're seated? God bless you, and please be seated. Amen. Now, this lesson has a subtitle that's much too long for any kind of recording or anything like that. So that's why we just title it Joseph's Hands. Amen. But the subtitle would be the hands on Joseph. You with me? The hands on Joseph do not control the hands of Joseph. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world does that have to do with the story of Joseph? Well, when you are reading through the stories found in the book of Genesis, and it's primarily here in the book of Genesis, but it shows up in other places throughout the Old Testament. But whether or not Moses recognized, this is a great debate among theologians and those who spend their time studying these things, whether or not Moses recognized what he was doing and intentionally used this form of writing in the book of Genesis multiple times, or if it was simply inspired by God, is an ongoing debate. It shows up in other ancient writings that have been found relative to the vicinity of time that Moses would have been schooled, especially. You have to consider that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and that Moses received all of his formal training in Egypt under the tutors and trainers of Pharaoh's own house, being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, and that he was a 40-year-old man when he left Egypt the first time, which means he would have been fully mature to some degree in the sense of his cognition and his ability to communicate on some level. He was very worldly intellectual in the time of which he lived. He was not, we know that he argued with God later on, but that was a false argument because Moses was certainly not a man that had not been given opportunity to be influenced by the most learned that Egypt would have had to offer him in his first 40 years of life. So I said all that to say that in the book of Genesis, there are multiple times when Moses incorporates or uses a way of writing that highlights a particular thing that the writer wants to emphasize that just the casual reader may not pick up on, that may not recognize that this is really a theme in the story that actually gives the story value and real meaning. Amen. And so this happens multiple times, especially in the ancient ways of writing in the Near Eastern mindset and all that Moses would have been caught up in his lifetime. And so when you look at the story of Joseph, this is one of the places where this is stark, or it stands out above other places even in the book of Genesis, but there are other instances. But in this particular story, this style of writing, it's almost poetic in its essence. It's almost has a rhythm, a flow to it, if you would say it like that. And so when Moses is either inspired of God or he is leaning upon this learned knowledge that he gained in his formal training of how to emphasize important characteristics of a man or a situation that identifies what kind of person this really is. Beyond just the fact that maybe we could say that Joseph was a man of integrity. Beyond being able to say that Joseph was a man of true character. that Joseph was a man of true commitment and true dedication. All these things are true and can be said about Joseph. But Moses writes this story in a way that there is a theme in the story that demonstrates this as a reality more than just you and I picking up on it when we read the story. It emphasizes what kind of heart the man had. It demonstrates what kind of focus and vision and direction and what was impacting the very man can be seen by this theme that is almost hidden, and yet it is the very core of the story of why Joseph and this story is even in your Bible. And it is the theme of the hand. Multiple times in the story, and we're going to go through some of these tonight. Multiple times in the story of Joseph, there is a stark contrast between the hands that are being placed on Joseph and the effects that those hands are having on him personally, and the resulting actions in which Joseph then expresses that action that he has been the recipient of. He then responds by demonstrating with his own hands. Are you good and bored yet? Amen. Hallelujah. So, in the story of Joseph, we know that we could easily say that Joseph was mistreated and Joseph was dealt a bad deck of cards. And we have the privilege of reading the end of the story and knowing that Joseph came to a recognition in the latter stages of this whole event that his brethren meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. But can I present to you tonight, brothers and sisters, that Joseph did not arrive there in one day. Joseph did not arrive at the place that he could look at his brethren and say that in just one week. In fact, Joseph did not arrive there in one year, but it took some 17 years of his life. Amen. It took time in disappointment. It took time in discouragement. It took multiple opportunities of being presented with a place to exit God's plan and give up on any dream or passion that he may ever have in God. But every time he was faced with an opportunity to be offended, with an opportunity to be disappointed, with an opportunity to lash out and strike back, Joseph did not respond in like manner, but he found something to be constructive with that he could build forward in the very place that he found himself. Now, the hands are very important in this story, because the hand is the action. It is that which destroys, and it is also that which builds. Amen. The hand, it seems to us, we don't give a lot of thought to our hand and its function. You just pick up the cup of coffee and take a drink. It is it's what's called implicit knowledge or implicit training. That means as you grow up in life, you watch everybody around you and you don't even practice it. You just subconsciously learn that the hand is used to open doors. The hand is used to pick up cups. The hand should be used to brush your teeth. And you finally reach a stage in life where unless there is an extreme malady in the hand or an injury in the hand or the loss of a hand, without those things, you really don't give much thought to what the hand is doing and what it is about. You don't spend a lot of time if you are healthy and everything is functioning right in your body in making the hand function. I mean, it's a nanosecond of a thought to think, to reach, to grab, to touch, to twist. So the hands become an extension of what the mind is thinking. The hand becomes an expression of what is in the heart of the individual. The hand becomes an outer response to what is happening to the individual. The hand just responds naturally to what kind of individual it is attached to. The hand, by nature, has no mind of its own, no actions of its own, no life of its own. It is only alive and responsive in accordance to how it's connected and to the thought pattern and the emotions of the one to whom it is attached to. And so when we look at the story of Joseph, the Bible says that he was despised by his brethren. They were angry, envious, jealous, whatever the initial emotion was within them about the favor that Jacob would place upon this son Joseph. And that is a lesson and message all in and of itself, but it sparked emotion within the other boys that had not previously necessarily showed itself. And this is a little side note. We'll try not to make too many of these tonight. But if you read through the story of the sons of Joseph, what you find is once these boys respond to Joseph in the way that they do, as they go forward in life, the interludes in the story that happen about Joseph, you'll find that it creates a reaction to other things that are not previously recorded about these boys. That's another lesson in and of itself. So they see they're in a field tending the flock, and Joseph has been sent by his father to go out and check upon them. And when they see him coming, they begin the process of thinking in their mind and conniving among themselves what it is that they can do to get rid of this dreamer. What can we do to rid ourselves of this dreamer? And so the Bible says that when he gets close to where they are and they see him coming, the Bible says that they decide that they are going to kill this dreamer. They're going to slay him. How are they going to slay him? That when he gets close enough, this passion of hate is going to come out in demonstration in their hands. They're going to lay hands upon Joseph. They're going to strip from him that robe of identity. They're going to take from him that favor that the Father has placed upon him. And they make the declaration within their minds, we will see what becomes of his dreams. And so Reuben, who is the eldest of the boys, he hears what they're saying. And the Bible says that Reuben decides that he is going to free this young boy from their hands, because he knows if they ever get their hands on him, they're going to pull him from limb to limb. They're going to destroy him. They're going to slay him, the Bible says. And Reuben
and made up his mind that he was going to deliver him out of their hands. And he said, no, let's not kill him. Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might be rid of him out of their hands. Three times in these few verses, we are introduced to how this story is going to unfold. Now, I'm not going to bore you tonight too hard here. Amen. But the way that the story of Joseph is going to unfold, from this point forward, it's going to be an outsider placing their hands upon Joseph with the intent to destroy, with the intent to tear down, with the intent to try to rid him of everything that he represents and everything that he believes and everything he has sold himself out to. They're going to lay their hands on him. But the key of the story is, what is Joseph going to do when they lay their hands on him? What is Joseph going to do? And the Bible says that it came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat. They grabbed a hold of that identification of favor and they stripped it from him and they laid hold on him. You have to do that, right? To cast somebody in a pit. They took him in their hands and they found an empty well. And they threw him down into it. And they sat down and they ate bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And here came a company of Ishmaelites with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh to Egypt. And Judah said, what profit is us to slay him and conceal his blood? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Then they passed by the Midianites, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Simeon returns, and Reuben returns to pull him up and save him in a later date. And they found that he is not there, and they rent their clothes. The child, where did he go? What happened to him? And they took the coat that was Joseph's that the brothers had stripped from him. They killed a goat. They stripped it all to pieces. They dipped it in blood, and they sent the many-colored coat back to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And we know that Joseph or Jacob believed that he had been completely destroyed by a wild beast. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar. Now I want to highlight this to you tonight, and hopefully we can make sense of all this in just a moment. But I want, in just a few verses of scripture, as we are introduced to this story of Joseph, it five times in just a few verses of scripture, hands of evil intent, hands of destruction, hands of jealousy, hands of envy, hands of hate have reached out to get a hold of Joseph, and he has been sold into the hands of foreigners, Midianites, who are on their way to Egypt. And when they arrive in Egypt, strange hands take him and lead him up to the slave auction and begin to take bids for this Hebrew slave. And finally, Potiphar reaches the highest bid, and he is sold into the hands of a foreign dignitary. I don't know about you, but I think I know my human nature. By the time I would have arrived at Potiphar's house, I would have been so filled with bitterness. I would have been so filled with anger. I would have been so filled with hurt and disappointment. Brother McLean, I would have been looking for something to get my hands on. I want to lash out like they lashed out at me. I want to destroy like I've been destroyed. I have been stripped from all of my potential. I have been stripped from all of my dreams. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you're wallowing in such grief and disappointment, feeling like hands of evil intent have reached into your life and pulled away everything of value, pulled away everything of potential. And what do you have left but hurt and disappointment and bitterness and offenses and a driving passion to lay hands on something. And the Bible says that Joseph enters in to the house of Potiphar, a man who now five times recorded, 10 to 12 times implied, have had the hands of someone else who had evil intent of mind and heart get a hold of him. And now he is sold into Potiphar's house. You would think that Joseph would be contrary. You would think that Joseph would be rebellious. You would think that Joseph would be lashing out to destroy everything that Potiphar had for him to do. But somehow, in Joseph's young teenage mind, he understood a principle. It's not what the hands do to me. It is what my hands do in response. It's not how I lash out because I was mistreated. It's not how I tear down because I was hurt. It's not how I destroy because I disagree. But it's all right. I see where the intent of others has brought me. But I'll make up my mind. What can I find to do here in this place of life, in this condition? What can I build? What can I add? You know me well enough, I'm just going to preach what I feel. Way too many people spend the potential years of their life tearing down because they don't agree, tearing down because somebody offended them, tearing down because they're envious of someone who got lifted up and they proverbially got pushed down, and they spend the potential years of their life criticizing, pulling down, destroying. I'm challenging a young man. I'm challenging a young lady. I'm challenging a young couple. I'm challenging a middle-aged. Look around and find, what can I build? What can I do? What can I contribute? I will not let the hands on me control my hands. It is the demonstration. It is the reflection of the character, the integrity, the thought patterns of the individual. And I don't want to get off in a lot of stuff here tonight, but even in our world, in the world of psychology and the study of humanity, you can watch what people do with their hands, and you can know if they're full of anxiety, hate. People who have been abused traumatically in their life, many of them only know how to react with their hands. So they strike out. They don't want to be that person. But they then strike out at others who become under their control because they're just imitating what has been built up inside of them. And if anybody had a right to do that, it was Joseph. But when he got to Potiphar's house, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian that had bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites and brought him down hither, that the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Notice, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Oh, Brother McLean, he got to noticing something about Joseph. The other guys working in the house, when they took on the responsibility of handling the things of Pharaoh, they always tried to tear down. They always tried to undermine. They were not interested in bettering Potiphar's house. But Potiphar saw something different in Joseph. Everything Joseph touched belonged to Potiphar. Not one thing was his. But Joseph made up his mind. Everything I touch, I'm going to try to leave it better than what I found it. I'm not going to give in to what my brothers did to me. I'm not going to give in to what has happened to me. I'm going to make up my mind. Everything I touch is going to be better than how I found it. I just wonder if that's the attitude we got around the church. Everything I touch is going to be better than I found it. I know what happened to me. I know what they said. I am disappointed, but I made up my mind. The hands on me are not going to control my hands. I hope I can help one person here tonight. Well, that's not mine. That's Potiphar's. I don't care if it grows or dies. I don't care if it increases or decreases. In fact, I'm going to spend most of my time trying to find another slave. Got a minute there? Hey, man, let me tell you. I had some sorry rascals as brothers. Let me tell you what they did to me. I had a beautiful, fine coat. And do you know what they did? They stripped it from me. They tore it in pieces. They dipped it in goat's blood. They threw me in a pit. If you think I'm going to spend my energy making Potiphar better. But the hands have no life in themselves. They are at the direction and the discretion of the brain they're attached to and the heart of emotions by which they express themselves. And Joseph had his heart right, and he just could not respond in kind. But he had a heart that said, I've got one mission. I want to make God happy. I've got one passion. I want to do what's right. It was in his heart. It was on his mind. And so everything that he touched demonstrated. Stay with me just a few minutes. This is a really long lesson. But we're not going to teach it all. So don't get nervous. So when Potiphar saw it, he found favor. The Bible says he found grace. He found favor in Potiphar. Potiphar had never seen a servant like that. Potiphar had never seen an individual who had nothing to gain and everything to lose put all of his energy into benefiting another. And so because of that, the Bible says that he found favor. He found grace. There was favor in Potiphar's sight. My wife's a long ways away. I can't hardly see her without my glasses on. So I know she would be embarrassed to come up here and pull my coattail. Y'all need to lighten up a little. Some people are so worried about impressing the right people that they can't even do anything. But Joseph just did the right thing when it needed to be done. And when he did, Potiphar saw it. I've been around a lot of young ministers that want to get noticed, but they don't want to do anything. I've been around a lot of people that want to be appreciated, but don't want to do anything. But I've also been around a lot of people who didn't give a lot of thought to it because they just wanted to do the right thing when it needed to be done. And so their hands demonstrated it. And you know what? If you want God's favor, don't sit around and wait on it. Put it out in display. Build, work, manifest the heart, the mind, the passion. And the Bible says, listen to this. We may not even get past this, but we'll at least give you an overview. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper, and Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And because of this attitude, because Joseph did not allow the hands on him to control his hands. Oh, I don't know why I feel this so strong tonight. Quit using the excuse. Well, they said this and they did that. And I don't like the way this went. And I don't like the way that went. And you're just responding in kind to what the hands before you are doing. And you've been trapped and you've been immobilized while things don't get done. But somebody is awakening and saying, wait a minute. I want my hands to be an extension of my heart and my mind and my passion. And he made him overseer. We probably should have preached on Noah. Build an ark. Head for the open water. We may all need an ark before we leave tonight. Yeah, man. But the Bible says that when he saw all this and that the Lord made his hands to prosper, Potiphar made him overseer over his house. And all that Potiphar had, he took a slave who had nothing. Here's the keys to the whole house, son. That's the keys to the safe. That's the keys to the food closet. That's the keys to everything in this house. He took all that he had and he put it in the hands of Joseph. Why? Because Joseph refused to let the hands on him control his hands. And we could take the time tonight to walk through each of these instances in Joseph's life. Things things are just getting to a tolerable place in Joseph's life. Until the wife of Potiphar lays her eyes on Joseph. Remember, the hands are an extension of the mind and the heart. And you can fill in all the blanks, so we're not going to take time. But her mind and her heart finally drove her to the place that she reached out with her hand to lay hold on him. She wanted to destroy Joseph. And she reached out. Her hand became an extension of her thoughts and her heart. But she didn't understand. She was taking hold of the garment of a man whose thoughts and passion were not rooted in the world. They were rooted in God. Long before there were Ten Commandments, Joseph looked at her and said, you can have my garment, but you're not going to have my integrity. You're not going to have my purity. I don't care if you did lay your hands on me. You're not going to control what my hands do. You know the story. I'm rushing through this tonight, but you know the story. She is in a fit of rage at his rejection. And she cries out. There's another whole side to Joseph's life. The five coats of accomplishment in God. That's another whole side of Joseph. But one of these is now taken. This coat of integrity is now taken by her hand with evil intent. And she screams out in her rejection. And when she has found out, she said, that Hebrew slave that the master brought in to defile us, mock us. I don't want to be too graphic here tonight, but when you actually break down the Hebrew wording in this story, she is literally saying that the master of the house brought him in to defile us, to make us impure. Her husband comes home. She's all piled up in the bed acting like the victim. Her husband comes home. What's wrong with you? And she just shows him the coat. The Hebrew slave, he attacked me. And so what does Potiphar do? He instantly, having to uphold his position and his authority in the eyes of all the slaves, he goes and he takes hold of Joseph and he takes him down into the prison cellars beneath, most likely beneath his own house, and he throws him in to the prison of the king and he locks the door. Again, Joseph has every right to lash out. It's human nature. How many stories could we tell? And many of you give your own of how life demanded a response and we responded in the wrong way. So now he's in the king's prison. Again, he has every right to lash out. Again, he has every right to be bitter and angry, but the hands are an extension of the mind and the heart. And Joseph cannot help but do the right thing when it needs to be done. And so he starts walking around the prison, picking up trash that others walked over. He didn't sit in his cell and sulk and complain and cause accusation against Potiphar. He just found what needed to be done. And he built and he worked and his hands became an extension of his passion. I just want to do what's right when it needs to be done. And the Bible says, that the Lord caused all that came into his head to prosper. I would propose a question to us tonight. Is your life in the kingdom prospering? And if it is not, what are your hands doing? When everybody's clapping, are you clapping? Well, it's getting quieter by the minute. Oh, I know what happened. The rain's falling. You've been at work all day, and you're thinking, if this guy would just shut up and let us go home. If everybody's hands in the air, I don't mean to be too harsh tonight, but the hands are an extension of your mind and your heart. And if you've refused to build, if you refuse to engage, it's only saying what's going on in your mind and going on in your heart. But if nobody has to ask, and you can't wait until I can clap my hands. If nobody has to ask, and you can't wait until I can lift my hands, then it's saying my heart is not on my brother that disappointed me. My heart is not on that one that offended me. My heart is set on you, oh God. You can be seated for just a minute. Bible says that the jailer saw it, that everything he did prospered, and he found favor in the eyes of the jailer. So that the jailer turned the jail over to his hands. Now, I know I'm hurrying through this, but remember I said there's a theme that runs throughout this story that depicts the kind of man we're talking about. So much so that the second in command, Potiphar in Egypt, felt comfortable turning everything over to his hands because he had already seen that his hands demonstrated what kind of man he was. The jailer had no problem trusting him because he had already seen. I don't know why I keep going back to this. Well, let me just say it like this, and we may, I don't know if we're streaming or not. We live streaming? All right, we may have somebody watching from home. God bless you, I love you, if you are. But I have seen people, and I have pastored people, and say, I want to do something for God, Pastor. Well, our cleaning team B needs one more person. Oh. I'll pray about that. Six months later. I want to do something. No, what you're saying is, can I get up behind the pulpit and be seen by everybody and patted on the back? No, no, it don't work that way. You got to put your hands into the work. You got to put your hands into action. That reveals what's going on in the mind. That reveals what's going on in the heart. And when that happens, the Bible says it like this. Every man's gift will make room for itself. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that Brother Thomas McLean has a gift. So he sits down and he pulls it out. Oh, man, look at that gift. Cover it up. Don't let nobody see it. Hide that gift. And eventually, one day, God will just show your gift to the world. That's not what it means. In the book of Proverbs, I'm getting way too bogged down. But in the book of Proverbs, the thematic idea of gifts in the book of Proverbs is that it makes room for advancement. Over and over, you take a gift to a king to gain his favor. You exchange a gift to a friend to have favor. It's the idea of gaining advancement. What does that mean? If you have a gift, you have to exercise it for it to be seen so that favor can then come upon your life. So it means you got to get busy doing what you can so that somebody sees that the hands are an extension of what's in the mind. And in the heart. And I'm just going to tell you what I felt. This, again, may be for one person. You can stand with me. Is that you are using the excuse of the hands that have been laid on you, what has been done to you, for how your hands are responding. But in the prison, twice now, he's been sold out. But his hands kept being the extension of his mind. His heart. You know the story. The baker and the butler. I don't have time to go into all this. We'll just give you an overview and you can go back and read it if you're even interested. But in the dream, Joseph sees, or they see two different things, and Joseph interprets. But the butler sees service in the hand. He's bringing the cup to the king. The baker sees the baskets stacked on his head. And the birds come and eat the bread that is in the basket on the top. I don't want to get bogged down into what all is taking place for the butler and the baker, other than to say that Joseph recognized in the dream that the baker had ill intent. If you go back and read the story, they were both accused of plotting against the king. The baker had ill intent in his mind. And the butler was just doing what he could with his hands. 2 years go by, Joseph forgotten. Pharaoh has his dreams about the famine and the plenteous. The butler remembers Joseph's call. He tells the king, Pharaoh, and Pharaoh calls for Joseph. You know the story. Joseph shows up. He hears the dream. He gives interpretation. And Pharaoh asks, who can find a wise man to implement the ideas of Joseph? Search is made and none is found until it dawns on Pharaoh. Can there be none wiser than Joseph himself? And this man who for more than 20 years now has had reason to lash out at the world because of the hands that have touched him, has made up his mind. My hands are going to be an extension of my mind and my heart. Yeah.
I'm going to build. I'm not going to tear down. I'm going to encourage. I'm not going to discourage. I'm not going to respond in kind. I'm going to add to instead of take away. And when it seems like that kind of idea of life has gotten him nowhere but in prison, Pharaoh says, who wiser? And Pharaoh takes the ring of authority, the signet ring of Pharaoh. He slides it off. While all those who have jockeyed for position are standing in the room, the wise men of Egypt. The ones that go behind Pharaoh's back. The ones that tear down when Pharaoh builds up. The one that tries to undercut and doesn't take personal responsibility because it's not theirs. They watch as Pharaoh takes his ring of authority and slides it onto the hand of a Hebrew prisoner. You know how Joseph knew what to do with that kind of authority? Because of what he had done with his hands through the years. All right, son, you've now got the highest authority in the land. What you gonna do? And I'm just chopping this up to get done. He does the same thing he's done through all his experiences. He does the right thing when it needs to be done. And he's just clicking along. And he's got this thing under control. And the last group that's come in and asked for corn has gone out. And the next group is a ragtag band from Canaan. Unprepared. Joseph watches as his brethren file into the room. And for the first time in Joseph's life, he has the power to respond to them in kind. He has the right, he has the authority, and he has the power to lay his hand on them. But he's always done the right thing when it needed to be done. And he's wrestling within himself. And I don't have time to go through the whole story tonight, but it's all there as he wrestles his way through every emotion of envy and anger and remorse and bitterness. If you think Joseph was over it at that point, you are wrong. But when he saw those boys, it all came to the top. But because his hands had always been connected to the right kind of thought and the right kind of heart. No. My hands have always built, even when they were torn down. My hands have always picked up, even when they were ridiculed. My hands have always bettered, even when it wasn't mine. And I'm not going to let my hands get their own mind now. I'm still going to direct them with a heart that is right. And Joseph demonstrates to all of us, it's not the hands on us that control our hands. It's our heart. It's our mind. It's our passion. It's our spirit that says, God, I know I've been hurt. I know I've been offended. I know I have reason to be disappointed. But what can I do?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
to add, to grow, to build, to encourage, to strengthen. Come on, this may be for just one individual in this house tonight, but I wonder if we would all respond in whatever way you're comfortable in responding. If you want to step out of where you're at and walk to this altar, if you want to lift your hands right where you're standing, I just wonder if we could all take our hands. God, I want my hands to be an extension of a right mind and a right heart and a right passion. I know I have reason to lash out. Come on, there may be somebody here tonight, you're wrestling with that very decision. You feel like you have every right to respond in kind, but your heart is screaming at you, don't let your hand do that.
I wanna be a willing
vessel. Don't let your hand do that. Let it build up.
I want to be
let it encourage.
Willing.